Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Dual Candle Radio with Lenora Sarver. Hello everyone, welcome to the show. As usual, hope everyone's doing well, that you're surviving this amazing world that we live in right now. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get the Israel update out of the way. We've actually got quite a bit on the table, as usual. One of the news stories I read earlier in the week was Hamas was agreeing to a deal of some sort, but then that was the last that I heard of it. And to be honest, I don't think he's really going to uphold everything, just to give you a heads up. But I do see a shift in what is going on in the world towards Israel, but then also towards the Palestinian side as well. Now, I know that coming to America and trying to protest on every single college campus and getting arrested and everything else and all that jazz didn't work out like they wanted. They wanted the colleges to stop divesting, you know, to basically stop sending Israel money and stop putting aside money for Israel. And some of the colleges, from what I have read, refused to do that. So there goes that idea. And then we have, I think it was 3 weeks ago, Congress had stopped mass protesting in a few states so far. And then a lot of the colleges are just stepping up when it comes to Israel because of all the riffraff going on. We have armed people. We have, you know, people taking over college campuses, not dorm rooms, but buildings on the college campuses. They're trying to take over that mess. So basically what started out as a peaceful protest, and I'm sure the AOC could be eating their words right now, but who knows? But what started out as peaceful is not exactly so peaceful, because you can only keep the mask on for so long. And basically the mask is falling off in a lot of different ways. But I'm looking over the news feeds now, and we have one from Fox Business. Talks about Hims and Hers CEO walks back praise for anti-Israel protesters after stock drops. So basically, you would think that this individual is promoting this. But then it goes on to say, Hims and Hers founder and CEO Andrew said Sunday that his previous comments offering support for anti-Israel protesters on college campuses were misconstrued by some after the company's stock dipped. Okay, I'm pretty sure everyone can figure out by now if you praise, or if you condone, or if you fund anti-Semitism or anti-Israel or any kind of stuff like this, then your money is going to fail. Your support is going to drop off, because basically you're funding the enemy is what you're doing. You know, just because these kids on these campuses are Jewish should not be cause and reason enough for them to be going through what they're going through right now. If it was anybody else, any other culture, any other race, I do believe this would be handled differently. And just to think like this is disgusting. Because the Jewish people are people. They are living, breathing souls. that deserve rights. They deserve respect. They deserve to be able to defend themselves. And they deserve their own land. Not a two-state. Not two parts. Their own land. Personally, and I know a lot of people are not going to like this, but I'm not here to speak what you like, in case you haven't noticed. Gaza should be Israel's. Plain and simple. Because at least Israel can go in and take care of the people. Make sure they have a good, prosperous environment. Not use them as human shields or make them caught in the middle to where they're facing mass starvation. Because nobody wants, whoever's in the leadership over that area won't take a stand and do their job. But nobody's talking about that part. It's all about, you know, Israel and what kind of wrong they could be doing. When the attention needs to be going on to the ones who are neglecting these people in Gaza, who are supposed to be their leadership, and letting them die. You know, we live in a very challenging world right now. And basically, the article I'm reading out of was published May 6, 2024, and it goes on to say, in thread on X, Dudum said he wished to clarify his earlier comments and said he does not support violence, anti-Semitism, or intimidation. Okay. Then he goes on to say, the last few days have been a disheartening reflection of just how divisive a time we live in, Dudum began. I'd like to clarify a few things because my words have been misconstrued by some. Well, it's pretty simple. Either you're funding this ruckus or you're not. But don't get up there and even speak anything against the Jewish people in the process, or else you'll wear the blame. So this isn't a good thing. Then he goes on to say, I in no way condone nor support acts of threats of violence, anti-Semitism, or intimidation, and there is absolutely no justification for violence on our campuses. He continued, every student deserves to feel safe without fear of harm or being targeted for who they are. I am deeply saddened by my support for peaceful protest has been interpreted by some as encouraging violence, intimidation, or bigotry of any kind. See, it's not hard to get the proper understanding on what's going on. You know, it's evident that the Jews are on their own in a lot of ways. Look how long this college mess has been drug out. Look how long. This should not have been drug out that long. And I'm sure by now, a lot of parents are rethinking, should my teenage child, basically, because basically if you're under 18 or if you're in your early 20s, us parents still look at you like you are our child. Sorry. A lot of kids don't like that. Mom, I'm not a kid anymore. Well, guess what? Once you've had a kid, then you always look at that kid like, that's your baby. And I don't know any other parents out there, unless they're just, they don't want to be a parent, that wouldn't agree with what I just said. If you cannot trust your kids to be able to go to school and be safe, why are you going to pay those horrendous amounts to send them next year, or next semester, or etc.? But these are real things that are happening. And then it goes on to say, Hims and Hers stock slides after CEO's praise for anti-Israel protesters. Yeah, how could we misconstrue that? Nobody in their right mind would get that wrong. Really? Really? Now more than ever. Whether if you face repercussion, whether if you face backlash, whether if you are not being held accountable for what you are speaking on about the Jews, it does not mean they are not taking note, and eventually you will be dealt with. But this isn't all. There's a lot more, and I'm not even going to keep going into this. It's just the truth is going to come out on who is behind funding this. And I've been telling you the last couple shows. It's rigged, it's set up, it's paid for, it's somebody's funding it. Whichever. Is it fair to everyone? Absolutely not. You know, even the kids who aren't Jewish are facing something by now. They're experiencing some sort of fear. They're having doubts about going to campus because of what's going on. You even have the Jewish kids now who won't even wear their Star of David or their kippah or any kind of proof that they're Jewish so they can avoid being terrorized by these acts of violence. Because you cannot describe this any other way. We're past the peaceful. We're past all that. But then we have another one, another story that I want to touch on real fast. And this is LA Times, or Los Angeles Times. And it is, do the pro-Palestinian protests signal a generational shift in U.S. attitudes about Israel? Like I've said before in past shows, the louder voice will get heard and we need to step up. And it doesn't matter if the louder voice is right or wrong. We are in an age to where anything goes as long as you're heard. Hence, censorship. Hence, everything else that I've covered since I've been on this show. But this was also published May 6, 2024. It says, Washington, the relationship between the United States and Israel has been a tight embrace almost ever since the founding of the Jewish-led state 76 years ago. And it doesn't even have to be like this. It really doesn't. It's just the fact that you have our president sending bombs over there, who doesn't like how the bomb is being used, because, you know, that basically doesn't let him sit comfortably at both tables at the same time. And now he's going to try to dictate when there's another story I'm going to cover here in a moment. They're already going to get what they need. And here, you know, like I've said in the last show, probably show before, who knows, Israel is strong enough to stand alone. And I know I've said in shows past, if the goats are going to produce milk, milk them. It doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to go out and hang out with them. Just milk them. But it goes on to say here in the article, Israel has relied on U.S. money, weapons, and global diplomatic defense to survive and thrive. Until recently. The support was unflagging from a bipartisan core of Congress and American politicians, and generally from U.S. voters as well. Formed as a refuge for Holocaust survivors, Israel was often portrayed as a victim and an enduring U.S. ally in a tough and dangerous part of the world. Israel's seven-month-old war against the Hamas militant group and the Gaza Strip is testing that relationship. Now, why would, and this is just, for me to have to sit here and constantly remind people, is ridiculous. Why would the United States get angry at Israel for taking a stand and defending themselves? Personally, and I'm just going to use a ridiculous example here, say I had two best friends. Okay? We'll name one of them Israel, and we'll name the other one the United States. And if I wanted to play the fiddle, play in between them, or if I was in cahoots with the enemy, I may have a problem with them taking a stand. Because the ultimate goal was for the one best friend to fall away while I keep the other best friend. As you may know, if you have lived as long as I have, you can't trust anybody. And there's a reason for the season, best friends or not. And that's the good thing about Israel, is they have Hashem. They don't need everyone on their side right now. Because when Hashem comes to settle the score, everybody who had their heel raised up against Israel will be wiped out. Is that what people are ready for? Then it goes on to say here is reacting to tens of thousands of civilian Palestinian deaths. Young Americans are protesting at numerous college campuses across the country. While there have been pro-Israel demonstrations as well, the largest and loudest have been in support of Palestinians. This goes to show whoever's yelling the loudest. Here's a closer look at what the protest might mean for the U.S.-Israel relationship, U.S. Mideast policy, and whether the next generation of Americans will chart a different course. No, it does not behoove you to chart a different course. Unless you just want to go down in the flames of the abomination of the fate that is already over this country. I'm going to keep it straight and to the point. Why are young people suddenly so interested in this issue? Well, you hit the colleges. That's why. In the last couple years, more people, especially from the pandemic, more people are watching the televisions, more people are more in line with politicians than ever before, I do think. Because you think during the pandemic, all you have is your television. All you had was social media. Or if you happen to live in the house with someone, then you would have them. But yet, more kids now than I've noticed throughout my years being alive are more invested in what is going on with politicians. Because basically we went from a very professional politician realm, and I can't even fully say that with a straight face, to a circus. And that is what we've been in the last couple years. But they call it politicians. But in actuality, it's been a circus. And it's almost like a reality TV show, or maybe a soap opera. So of course people are going to tune in because they want to know what's going on. It's juicy, so it's going to get the attention of the young people. This is the Palestinian cause, the quest by millions of Palestinians for independence and a sovereign state after massive displacement by the creation of Israel in 1948, was wholly marginalized during the Trump administration and remained on the back burner as President Biden pursued normalization of Israeli ties with its Arab neighbors. Yeah, because the original goal was to get them to where they could come into some sort of peace agreement. And then this happened. Then came October 7th. Legions of Hamas militants and allies swarmed from Gaza into southern Israel, killing, torching, and taking hostages. Around 1,200 Israelis on several kibbutzim and at a music festival were killed. More than 200 were captured. So basically, it says Israel's retaliation was brutal and massive. More than 34,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children, have been killed in Israeli airstrikes and land attacks. Most of Gaza's population of 2.3 million has been forced to flee their demolished homes. This new horrific chapter in the decades-long Israeli-Palestinian conflict brought the issue back to the fore. Which side do younger Americans support? Basically, we'll skip to the next paragraph here. It says, in a 2022 survey by the Pew Research Center, only 41% of adults under 30 had a favorable view of Israel, with 56% unfavorable. By contrast, the majority of all age groups above 50 viewed Israel favorably. A Pew poll in February found that among young Democrats, support for Palestinians was overwhelming. 47% favored Palestinians compared to 7% for Israel. Support also declined slightly among older Americans to just under the majority, but it did not translate into support for Palestinians. Then it goes on to say why the difference among age groups. Well, here's the thing. I can verify a lot of the news stories, especially, you know, news networks here in Ohio, that I've noticed are favoring Palestinians. So whenever you have that sort of take or that sort of stance, it's going to reflect across the news. And the last 7 months, our news has done nothing but try to make Israel out to be the worst. And then you wonder why we have Pew Research reports that are stating low support. I would almost say a Palestinian was behind that Pew report. Just saying. But this is why we have negative views of groups around the world. No person here on this land in the United States who has never been to Israel, never met a Jewish person, can rightfully say they dislike them. Because they don't know but what they see on television, on the news. And I tell you right now, I'm going to keep things very real. A lot of the stuff that's on the news is paid, the narrative is already in place, and it's not always the truth. Just so you folks know. This is why I'm bouncing around from news network to news network, from social media to several other networks and groups, trying to get the actual truth of what's going on. And like I've said before, you can go to IDF on Instagram or any of these other social networks that has an actual, genuine IDF account. And I don't mean a fake IDF profile. I mean a genuine account. And get the real deal on what is going on with every operation. And I will say that because I have viewed this and researched this and tried to get to the bottom line, I can't tell you how many men were taken out who were affiliated with Hamas during this Gaza crisis. So it's not just women and children. Okay? And they present it like, oh, Israel's just brutal and they were just going in and ravaging everything. Not necessarily. They were very professional. I've been watching this all the way through. And if they come across as brutal, maybe that might be an example for some of you who want to raise their heel against them in the future. Because here's the bottom line. Anybody coming against Israel right now does not have a proper leg to stand on. A valid excuse. And they know it. That's why they're keeping all this going. All this false narrative going. All this just ridicule going. Because if they can keep Israel into a critical limelight, then they can move forward with what they want to do. Not necessarily. Because here's one thing. If you're sitting here spreading lies, for example, the truth always comes out, even when you're not ready for it. I'm not even going to finish reading this article, but the next one we have is Biden says he will stop sending bombs and artillery shells to Israel if it launches a major invasion. And now that's CNN. And that was published May 8th, 2024. And basically the response was basically Israel telling them, we'll stand alone if we have to. Yeah. And it's amazing whenever you get into, whether if it's a business relationship, whether if it's a political relationship, whatever, and one deceives themselves by thinking the other needs them more. Don't deceive yourselves. If you're going to hand things to Israel, they'll take it. But you're not going to withhold it and think they're going to do your bidding. Okay? What they did in Iran just a couple weeks ago should have let the people know then that they are on their own agenda. Now, if the tables were reversed, would Netanyahu be able to go to Biden and say, hey, I'm going to withhold this until you do that? Biden probably wouldn't listen either. You see how that works? So why put on Israel what every other country in this world knows they would not adhere to? It's very unfair. Hence why I am doing a weekly Israel update to speak out as a voice on this side of the world on behalf of Israel. Because I tell you what, of all the anti-Semitism, they have yet to send me an email and say, hey, stop doing Israel updates. We don't approve what you're speaking. We don't stand behind that. They have yet to send me an email saying that. And guess what? They're listening. Yeah. So I tell you what. I would love to say that all this is going to fade away. It's all going to get better. And, you know, once a $95 billion gets sent over and everything's going to be peachy, not necessarily. What we'll see is a pause, if anything, and that'll be right around the elections. Because if they can't get the one who's guaranteeing them some sort of freedom, some sort of deal behind the scenes, back into office in a re-election, then they're going to sit there and hold their breath. Because as of right now, we don't have any other candidates that are actually making it through the door. You know, here of late, I guess Ohio didn't put Biden back on. Well, I mean, what I can say is, let's see. We can look around at these insane gas prices and all this inflation that we're dealing with here in Ohio. That could be why they forgot. But what do I know? I'm not a politician. But I do know that so far, they're going to have to do an emergency move to get him back on there. Biden, that is. And as for the rest of them, they're expecting Trump to be in jail, so that gives a clear way for Biden to get reelected. Either way, what we're going to have is a mad dash for the Palestinians and then a pause, because there's going to be great uncertainty as to who is going to take office. Hide and watch. This is what I see. As for Israel, stand strong. Stand strong. I would like to say this would be over soon, but not quite yet. Unfortunately. But in the meantime, the good thing about God, the good thing about Hashem, he's not giving up. Neither should we, neither should Israel. The grounds will be shaken and laid straight eventually. And as for the weather, we've got we're about ready to come out of the seasonal back and forth. But God showed me a little something today whenever I was speaking with him. Because he was saying that We're coming to a close on the back and forth weather, but that this summer was going to be a little bit different. It was going to be very hot. We'll still have all that going on. But then we're going to have unusual cold spells coming through. And that's going to be a game changer, but it's not going to lift the heat, unfortunately. It's just going to cause more chaotic storms. As you saw this past week, they got snow over in the west, which is usually on the east coast. The east coast was, I think, what, 80? 85? And then today, here in Ohio, it's 52. So, with this new edge that's coming, it's going to be very spontaneous and very different. But then we also have a solar flare alert that I just noticed today whenever I was looking over the news, and it says this is Business Insider published April 24, 2024, and it says a video shows the sun just blasted out four eruptions at the same time. The rare event may have sent plasma hurtling toward Earth. Now, that's about the time that we had the eclipse. That was all around the end of April. But then there was another interesting story I came across, which I'm not sure how much or how reputable it is, but I will definitely read what they were saying. And it was from a group called Severe Weather Updates, and they post this 6 hours ago. It says a severe wave of electrical activity left the sun today and is predicted to reach Earth this Friday, Saturday. Disruption to power systems, mobile devices, mobile navigation, and GPS disruption is very possible. So it says NASA have released a G4 severe geomagnetic storm watch. And then it goes on to say the last time this warning was issued was 2005 and resulted in widespread power outages in Sweden, for example. Well, the only thing I found was Business Insider whenever I looked it up. But this wouldn't even be the same. So this is why we have to do our research. And you can't exactly go on everything you see on social media. Okay. So what we have is space.com. Sun unleashes X-class solar flare. Radio blackouts reported. But that was May 6. And we're going into May 10th. But what we haven't had is a whole lot of solar flare warnings. Now we've been, I know I've been covering it here on the show, probably since late last year, whenever I first started hearing about the solar flare, stuff like that. But, and I also put in some commentary about what I thought might be the cause. But we will see. Because you can't go on every single thing that you see online. So I just looked that up while I'm recording. But that's about all I could find about that. So basically, if things go down the next couple days, you'll know what that was from. If not, then I guess we really don't need to heed all these warnings now, do we? But it makes it difficult because you have all this information coming in, right and left, and no real clue about who's right, who's wrong. But I did find on The Guardian, and it was May 8th, 2024, it was published, and it was talking about, we asked 380 top climate scientists what they felt about the future. Lot of them replied with, "We're hopeless and broken. I worry about the future. We live in an age of fools." Says they are terrified but determined to keep fighting. Here's what they said. Says sometimes it is almost impossible not to feel hopeless and broken, says climate scientist. After all the flooding, fires, and droughts of the last 3 years worldwide, all related to climate change, and after the fury of Hurricane Otis in Mexico, my country, I really thought governments were ready to listen to the science, to act in people's best interest. No, they're not ready. Instead, Cerezo Moda expects the world to heat by catastrophic 3C this century, soaring past the international agreed 1.5C target, and delivering enormous suffering to billions of people. This is her optimistic view, she says. The breaking point for me was a meeting in Singapore. An expert in climate modeling at the National Autonomous University of Mexico. There, she listened to other experts spell out the connection between rising global temperatures and heat waves, fires, storms, and floods hurting people. Not at the end of the century, but today. That was when everything clicked. Then it goes on to say, I got a depression, she says. It was a very dark point in my life. I was unable to do anything and was just sort of surviving. She recovered to continue her work. We keep doing it because we have to do it. So the powerful cannot say that they didn't know. We know what we're talking about. They can say they don't care, but they can't say they didn't know. And aside from this, they did know. They knew for a very long time that days like today were coming. And if they think they can just jump ship, move to another planet, run to the mountains and pray for the rocks to fall on them, or change and get another job, knowing what humanity is getting ready to face, that's not going to save them. They had dual capabilities. And that was one, to speak it forth and get something in a line to combat this, or two, keep it quiet. And that's basically what the majority did. Because whenever you don't have the answers to things, then you don't talk about it. So here we are. And now we're looking at other planets. We're hoping to go mess them up, I guess. I mean, what other kind of sense can you make out of this? It goes on to say, in Mérida, on the Yucatan Peninsula, where Cerezo Moda lives, the heat is ramping up. Last summer, we had around 47 C maximum. The worst part is that even at night, it's 38°C, which is higher than your body temperature. It doesn't give a minute of the day for your body to try and recover. She says, record-breaking heat waves led to many deaths in Mexico. It was very frustrating because many of these things could have been avoided. And it's just silly to think, well, I don't care if Mexico gets destroyed. We have seen these extreme events happening everywhere. There is not a safe place for anyone. Folks, if you've been watching international news, weather alerts, stuff like that, every single country, practically, there's a couple countries that will not be touched. And that's because they are adhering to God's laws. And He is blocking it. There is a shield over them. So there's a couple countries that will not be touched by this. Yeah. And one of them made abomination illegal. So, they will not be touched as well. But just about every country, there's a handful that aren't, are dealing with some sort of climate issue right now. Floods have been all over the world, practically. But that's not what's filling our news feeds, is it? It's all about Trump. And if it's not about Trump, it's about Taylor Swift. And if it's not about Taylor Swift, then it's about Israel and Biden. Yeah. See, they're going to downplay this because they don't want the average population to understand how close we are to mega and extreme events. It's not a matter of being close anymore. We are living it. We're just waiting on everybody else to pull their heads out of the sand and realize it and maybe, you know, do some action. But we're coming to the point now even action will be challenged because we acted too late. And I don't think everyone is ready for that reality. But here we are. Here we go. She goes on to say, I think 3°C is being hopeful and conservative. 1.5°C is already bad. But I don't think there is any way we are going to stick to that. There is not any clear sign from any government that we are actually going to stay under 1.5°C. Cerezo Mota is far from alone in her fear. An exclusive Guardian survey of hundreds of the world's leading climate experts have found that 77% of respondents believe global temperatures will reach at least 2.5°C above pre-industrial levels, a devastating degree of heating. Almost half, 42%, think it will be more than 3°C. Only 6% think the 1.5°C limit will be achieved. The task climate researchers have dedicated themselves to is to paint a picture of the possible worlds ahead. From experts in the atmosphere and oceans, energy and agriculture, economics and politics, the mood of almost all those The Guardian heard from was grim. And the future many painted was harrowing. Famines, mass migration, conflict. I find it infuriating, distressing, overwhelming, said one expert, who chose not to be named. I'm relieved that I do not have children, knowing what the future holds, said another. Do you remember what Yeshua said? Woe to those who give suck in the last days. Basically, woe to those with new babies in the last days. Why would Yeshua say that? Look around, my friends. Look around. You know what else is saddening? Besides all this, is the church is quiet. Now is your time. The fields are more ripe than they were years ago because of the impending doom ahead of us. Are you scared? Are you afraid that you might be placed in a different view? Well, you're already there. Newsflash. It's time to stand up. And goes on to say, the scientists' responses to the survey provide informed opinions on critical questions for the future of humanity. How hot will the world get? And what will that look like? Why is the world failing to act with anything remotely like the urgency needed? Is it, in fact, game over, or must we fight on? They also provide a rare glimpse into what it is like to live with this knowledge every day. The climate crisis is already causing profound damage, as the average global temperature has reached about 1.2 C above pre-industrial average over the last 4 years. But the scale of future impacts will depend on what happens or not in politics, finance, technology, and global society, how the Earth's climate and ecosystems respond. And then we have a daily temperature anomalies, which is global daily average temperature relative to pre-industrial baseline. And basically it's saying February 2024 is the highest they have. It's already registering at 2C. 2015, according to this graph, was hitting 1.5C. So if you were really paying attention the last couple years about, oh, let's not hit 1.5C, let's not do this, and then you read this, what was all that ruckus about? According to this graph right here, we've already hit 1.5C. So what are we being told? Is it the truth? How would one find out? The only way you're going to find out is to be up and researching everything you see. Who has time for that? Well, if you really want to know, you'll make time. You'll make time out of no time, if you really want to know. It says the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, has convened thousands of experts in all these fields to produce the most authoritative reports available, which are approved by all governments. It was founded in 1988 by the United Nations, which was concerned even at that time. 1988, we were concerned about today. That's quite a bit ago. And it says, which was concerned even to that time that global heating could be disastrous for mankind if timely steps are not taken at all levels. The IPCC's task was to produce a comprehensive review and recommendations, which it has now done six times over 35 years. In terms of scale and significance, it may be the most important scientific endeavor in human history. The IPCC experts are, in short, the most informed people on the planet on climate. What they think matters. So the Guardian contacted every available lead author or review editor of all IPCC reports since 2018. Almost half replied, 380 out of 843, a very high response rate. Their expectations for global temperature rise were stark. Anticipates, let's see, Lisa Shipper at the University of Bonn anticipates a 3C rise. It looks really bleak, but I think it's realistic. It's just the fact that we're not taking the action that we need to. Technically, a lower temperature peak was possible, the scientist said, but few had any confidence it would be delivered. Their overwhelming feelings were fear and frustration. I expect a semi-dystopian future with substantial pain and suffering for the people of the global south, said a South African scientist who chose not to be named. The world's response to date is reprehensible. We live in an age of fools. None of this seems too reassuring. But I will tell you, aside from this article, I've been prophesying and predicting this to be happening this year, that it was going to be hotter than last year, that this would be a year of extremities. Next year, who knows? But this particular year, we are looking at a much, much hotter environment. I don't think people are really thinking about what this is going to look like. Your roads melting, your tires melting to the roads, roofs melting. Folks, we did not build our cities in a way that was going to withstand a lot of this. You think we're having structural damage now with the hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff like that that we've had over the last couple years. But you look at the damages now. This is already set in place to crumble when this happens. We are more than just war-torn. We are storm-torn as well. And it's not even close to being over yet. We really haven't even kicked off what is coming. And a lot of people, they don't want to think, oh yeah, they'll figure out a way. You know, they don't want to think that some of this could be in their hands. But basically, it just goes on to how the scientists are going into deep depressions and stuff like that because they don't have the answer. Well, all they have to do is seek God. That's it. But you may have to jump ship with whoever puts you in that chair because you're going what they call the Jesus route. I would like to say that this is only going to, you know, be a couple days or a couple months, something like that, and we'll be back to normal. There is no going back to normal. We are going to have to shift and adjust. And they blame it on the population. Well, that's going to be challenged too, because all the truth is going to come out of everything going on. And everything we've done the last couple years has increased the climate issues. But nobody wants to, you know, fess up to that. We have scientists on here right now who don't even want to speak their name. Why? Why? We have a lot to pray about. As usual, I would finish that article, but I'm going to go ahead and pray and see what else God wants to speak on. Be right back. We got just a few minutes left of the show, and basically I'll be reading to you out of Ezekiel chapter 6. Now, originally, this chapter is set for Ezekiel to prophesy against Israel, the mountains of Israel. But whenever I was speaking with God over this, this is going to be to all the people who reject him. And the one verse that was sticking out the most and it says, "And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations." So, in an essence, God is pointing at this is the condition of the world. They're moving, gravitating, and refusing, and going away from God, his precepts, his laws, everything. they have zeroed in on his people in Israel and hopes to destroy them, even though they will not be destroyed. So basically, what is coming out of this is everyone who has refused him will be in the category of what is in this chapter. Now, I'm not sitting here changing the gospel. He is using this as an example of what he did then is what he will do now. The only difference is then, when this was written, when this was actually history in the making, it was against Israel. But now, this will be against the rest of the world. So, I hope you're ready. So, because many of you, you're too busy trying to stay in your little rosy-colored window. When you need to wake up, you need to repent, you need to get your house in order, you need to figure out how you're going to survive the coming years. This is the call. And for many of you out there now who refuse to live for God, who refuse to acknowledge God, who choose atheism and Satanism and whatever else, you will face the judgment. Whether you choose him or not, don't be laying on your deathbed like so many others, wishing you would have done something different. The chance, the time is now. And as always, it is a blessing to come into your homes with some sort of message every week. Lord willing, we'll see you next week. I want to thank everyone for listening, sharing, etc., following the show. If you have any ideas on content you would like me to speak on the show, you can go to my website and send an email that way. And just kind of, you know, you could do a detailed explanation, you could just do ideas or topics, whichever, and I can cover that on the show, Lord willing. But in the meantime, everyone, keep God first, whether or where. Keep Israel in your prayers. God bless every one of you. Have a great night.